Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. This is a show where I have a conversation with someone in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. They are the owners of Duck Stash Hospitality, a growing restaurant group with a number of concepts, all of which we'll talk about here over the course of the next half hour or so. Gentlemen, let me introduce you separately so people can hear your voices. Patrick Pham, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. How are you, Eric? Thank you for having us.
Thanks for doing this. Daniel Lee, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having us.
Thank you for doing this. Patrick, let me start with you. Anytime I have someone on the show for the first time, I always like to get a little bit of background on their history. So tell me a little bit about how you decided to become a professional chef.
That's a long story, but let me summarize it. I always loved eating, right? And growing up, my parents had restaurants. I always worked in them when I was younger as well. You know, high school came around, people were going to college. I didn't take my SATs or anything like that yet. And I heard an ad on the radio about culinary school. And I just thought, hey, I like to eat. So why not learn how to cook? Went to the open house, went to the Art Institute of Houston, did my associate's degree there. And right before I was graduating, I heard of a restaurant coming into town called Uchi. They were coming in from Austin, decided to apply just as a prep cook, get my foot in the door. They hired me and I started as a prep cook, worked on the hotline, pantry, tempura, then decided, you know, like these sushi chefs up here are really, really cool. I want to learn how to do that. Did a lot of staging and worked there for about 7.5 years, worked my way up through the sushi bar line, worked under Yoshi-san, and ended up being the head sushi chef at around, I think, when I was 23, actually. I was the youngest head sushi chef in the company. That's where I met Daniel, my business partner, as well. We had a lot of drunken nights where we talked about our dreams of opening up our own restaurant. And then we finally one day decided to make it happen. And that's when we started Secret Taste. That led to Kokoro.
All right. Well, let's. I want to go through all of that, but before we do that, Daniel, just kind of fill in the same kind of story that Patrick told. Explain how you got to the point where you were working at Uchi and when you met him.
Yeah, mine is easy. It's just started when I was during high school year. I just needed extra cash for gas money. And then I found this job at this hibachi place and started as a dishwasher. And now 15 years, 16 years later, I'm still a dishwasher for Patrick, my big boss Patrick. Yeah, there you go. That's my story. And yeah, that's it.
Now he makes me feel like I talk too much.
Right. All right. So how did you guys decide to start working in there? Because like you said, you started to say before I cut you off, you had the Secret Taste pop up that eventually evolved into Kokoro, your first concept at Bravery Chef Hall. So just sort of talk me through that. Like, how did you get to Kokoro?
So we were working at Uchi and we used to make hand rolls at the end of the night for staffs. And I had a regular of ours as well. Her name is Vivian Liba. You might know her. But she came in to eat one night and she was just telling me like, hey, there's this hand roll bar in the East Coast and West Coast, but there's really nothing in, you know, Texas. And that kind of got me thinking. I was like, well, we make hand rolls at the end of the night for staff as well. And that's when we kind of thought of the idea of Handy's Dozo. And Kokoro was actually supposed to be Handy's Dozo. But then once we got into the building, we built it out. We just realized like, this is not a good spot for just hand rolls. And so we had to just one night, we just thought of the concept Kokoro. Daniel thought of the name. We made the menu. And that's how Kokoro started, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to me because everything else, all of the other original concepts at Bravery have come and gone, and Kokoro has stayed. Daniel, what do you think it is about that restaurant that has been so successful that it's still a staple of that food hall?
I mean, that's really hard. I mean, like, we're just like, I feel like it was still like, we're just so lucky. We have so many regulars coming in and supporting us all the time. And, you know, we also like, we are putting a lot of love into our food. And you know, it's end of the day, it's all about the food and people loving our food. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know. Like, it's really hard to say. I mean, it's just like, what do you say, Patrick? Like, I have no idea. Like, why are we so successful? Like, why? I feel like I'm just lucky.
You know, that's how, honestly, that's how I feel too. A lot of people have, you know, talked to us and they asked us, like, man, you guys are only 5 years into this thing and you guys have all these concepts, but, you know, none of it was planned. Like I said, you know, Handy's Dozo was supposed to be our first concept going into Bravery Chef Hall. And then we realized that wasn't going to work because we just created this concept, Kokoro. And I think what really grabbed a lot of people's attention with it was just our quality, but then not having to dress up. You know, it's a food hall, and a lot of people have said, like, what is this doing in a side of a food hall? And you know, the lunch crowd, the downtown lunch crowd, has definitely helped out a lot. Also just being on the residential side of downtown where there's all those apartments has definitely helped out for the dinner time. So I think we got just lucky with the location, how everything started, building up the hype with Secret Taste, and just, you know, having a lot of great clientele out there that support us and still support us to this day and helped us survive COVID.
Yeah, also, it's all about the staff and the Patrick's leadership. You know, we just, like, follow his leadership. And, you know, he just tells us to do this and do that, and then I just do it. And, yeah, like, I don't know. I'm still a dishwasher, you know?
All right, so let's move on to Handy's Dozo. You mentioned Vivian Leiba, who, for anyone in the audience who doesn't know, is a very well-regarded social media and marketing person who's worked with a whole bunch of top restaurants around Houston. So she's clearly got some insight into what people like, and she suggested hand rolls. How did you kind of develop that concept? And tell me about opening that first location in the Heights on White Oak, because you kind of caught White Oak right as it was having a moment where there were a whole bunch of new concepts opening, and that, you know, that street that had kind of been basically, you know, Cultivare and Onion Creek, like, really took a big step up.
That concept, it took us a while to actually really fully develop it when, you know, it's just mainly just because of sourcing certain things. But when it came to White Oak, this is when we actually ended up venturing into our new partnership. Kokoro was just myself and Daniel when we opened it up. And then with Handy's, we met Andrew and CJ. They were brought into the group as well. And then that's kind of where we do the food, and then they kind of do the ones, their job is to, like, find the location and, you know, make sure that everything makes sense for us to go in there and do our thing. When we found that spot, it was, I was kind of hesitant at first when they told us to meet up there. The grass was overgrown. The bushes were overgrown. It looked like a little small cottage, ugly color. But it had a lot of character in that small little cottage, and it was a Happy Fats before. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if Daniel has a different, maybe he can elaborate a little bit better with it.
Yeah, Daniel, talk about kind of developing that menu and kind of creating that concept, because the hand roll thing really hadn't, you know.
I mean, menu is all about Patrick. You know, I have nothing to do with it. You know, he's always creating all the dishes. He's a better chef, you know. He's a better one to talk.
So the menu, like, not a lot of people know about the menu and how it was created. I'm not going to lie. From friends and family to when we finally opened up the following, like, week, it was just, I work really well under pressure when it comes to that. Some would call it procrastination, but I call it working under pressure. But I kind of made up the menu during the friends and family, and then right before opening. Before, you know, a lot of the other hand roll bars on the East Coast and West Coast, they just have really, it's just fish, rice, and seaweed, you know, and a very minimal seasoning. And sometimes that's what people want. But for us, we wanted to do things a little bit different. You know, our background was working at, like I said before, Uchi, and they taught us a lot about different flavors and different flavor profiles and whatnot. So I was like, well, why we do that with sushi pieces? Like, let's do that with hand rolls as well. And then just doing friends and family and seeing how it went and what I liked and what I didn't like, we kind of went back to the drawing board and kind of just created that menu within a couple days. And then we opened up, and that menu now is still the same 5 years now, 5 years later.
Yeah, I think one of the things I really like about that concept specifically is that it gives you a little bit of that omakase style experience where each roll is being made right in front of you. It's being presented to you as soon as it's ready, and you eat it quickly. Obviously, at a much more affordable price point. And like you said, that it's not just, fish and rice and maybe a little bit of wasabi. It's like there's all these kind of individual flavor components. And I don't know what you guys do to the nori to get it as crispy as it is, but I've never experienced, like I've been to other hand roll restaurants. I've eaten other hand rolls at other sushi restaurants. Nobody gets the nori as crispy as you do. So I don't know what voodoo that is, and I don't know if it's like proprietary and you don't want to say, but it makes them very easy to eat.
Yes, no, it took a long time for us to figure out what to do. I can't give away all our secrets, but it did take Dan and myself a long time to, figure out every single small detail when it comes to that crispy nori, and that's what I think makes us different the most. That's all I can really say about it. It's just
I
like,
mean, also we went to like all the hand roll restaurants, like from East Coast, West Coast. We tried every single places like before we opened, and we just like, man, like this is like what we created is like something very unique that no one can copy, and like this has to be put this into like secret,
yeah,
like until we that's the part.
exactly. No, I know we had tasted a lot of nori,
But
probably like
we tried so many
I think
different
like
noris,
thousands of brands.
and we got sick of it, but we found the wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you learn from all that traveling as you sort of developed that concept? What stood out from all of your different experiences?
I think it was I really like the concept because it was like a fast casual, but with high quality food. And then just like you said, it's omakase style that like we wanted to do all like from like day one.
Yeah, and what the secret take was the omakase, and then also you also said affordable. I mean, you can look back 5 years on the Yelp pictures, and we have not changed our prices of our core menu since we've opened, and
Yeah.
that's just something that there's two things, like for us, like quality is everything because that's the one thing we can control, and so for us, we want to see you, we want to see our people that come in and eat like one, two, three times a week, not. We don't want it to be like once in a quarter or a special occasion. Like we want to be that neighborhood spot where it's like I can come in real quick before I go home after work and just have a quick bite, or I can just go in for lunch or, it's just very, very fast casual. But at the same time, you can also sit there for an hour and a half and have a date night with a date as well and talk to the chefs, talk to the staff, and just have a good time too. So I think that's what makes that place special.
Well, I'm too old to sit on a backless stool for an hour and a half and have a date night. You got Handy's is very much like a 30 or 40 minute swing for me.
No, for sure. And that's how we designed it too, because originally it wasn't supposed to be reservation. Because of COVID, we made it reservation only to control the what is it? What was the occupancy, the capacity.
Capacity of the
But the design of it, the stools are supposed to get uncomfortable after about 35, 40 minutes.
That's
We
a secret. We
oh,
can't talk
oh,
about it.
sorry about
That's
that.
a
Yeah.
secret. We can't talk about this.
Never mind. Never mind.
No. Well,
But no.
that was David Chang's innovation at Momofuku, 20
Yeah.
years ago, right? Like
Yeah.
people, make people a little bit uncomfortable and they'll get up and you can sell, you can turn that seat over.
Exactly. Especially when you're just a 26 seat sushi bar. When we first opened and did walk-ins, I think dinner only was from 5 to 10, and our record that we had at first was 198 covers in 5 hours, and that was really cool to see that. So
All right,
let's move on to Aiko, your restaurant on Washington Avenue. You took over a space that had been I think one or two different sushi restaurants
think it was two,
before.
the
Yeah, I think
Kukuri
it
and
was two,
Kubo.
right? Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me about Aiko, because it is kind of that balance between what you were doing at Kogoro in terms of a more complete sushi experience, but also doing the hand rolls that you do at Handy's.
Yeah, so Ico originally, when we opened it up, it was supposed to be the same thing, kind of like at Handy's, a mixture of Handy's and Kokoro. It was supposed to be, Ico means like love child, so it was supposed to be Handy's and Kokoro's love child. When we first opened it up, I don't know if you remember or not, but it was just very kind of like, it was supposed to be very casual when it came to the plateware, when it came to the food, very simple, fast paced too. We tried to take a fast casual approach with sushi, and we realized very quickly that that's not what people wanted. And we decided to revamp it throughout the months, actually throughout the years. Still revamping it right now too. We just added liquor to it as well, but that's down the road. But that it was supposed to just be nigiri and hand rolls, right? And then we got a lot of feedback from all of our supporters and friends and families, and we a lot of people weren't happy with it, and that made us not happy. So we had to go back to the drawing board, and we just spent a lot of time to figure out what we needed to do, and we ended up thinking of about doing like an omakase-esque type restaurant where you can also order a la carte, but it's more of an omakase restaurant for people that aren't re maybe really not ready to spend $250 a person, where you can kind of dip your toes in the water. Maybe you just graduated from just eating only cut sushi rolls, right? You can have an affordable happy hour omakase, and you can get a little tasting of a crudo, edamame, a hand roll, and some nigiri. Or you can go extensive and do like a full-on omakase there. Or you can just go there and order a la carte. But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much the gist of Ico. We're still working on that project as well, revamping it. We added liquor to the place. We have a Japanese highball machine now. I think like 30 Japanese whiskeys. Doing cocktails soon. Yeah.
Well, and you've added some hot items too, right? You've added tempura, you've added a couple other things, right? You're still kind of evolving that restaurant.
Yeah, we're trying to not make it as much cooked food. It's more of like little snacks that you can share with people, like the karage, or just something like small little bites that you can share while you wait for your hand roll or your nigiri to come out.
I mean, I will say for the quality, I think it's very affordable. And it's got that kind of nice environment and adding the cocktails. It's low key kind of a date spot for me. I mean, I've gone there on a couple of with a couple of different people and everybody likes it. I just think it's approachable in a way and it's a good experience. And I don't know if that was intentional or if that's kind of the following you've aimed to cultivate, but I do find myself going there for that when someone wants to go out for sushi, and also I see friends of mine doing the same thing.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. We meant to create this as like a day spot. But at the same time, it won't break your wallet at all. Like, for the quality that we're serving, like, it is very affordable. Like, and then especially nowadays, like after the pandemic and all the stuff, like, we did notice that the sushi price just like skyrocketed. And we're like, oh, like this is just not us. Like, we just want to serve good food. I want, I think we just wanted to serve good food with affordable price. That was our goal.
Exactly. And with Kokoro, it was like you can go there for lunch or you can go there for dinner, fast casual. Handy's exact same thing. We didn't really have a concept where it's like, hey, I really want to take somebody out on a nicer date that's not surrounded by 24 other people at a bar, right? If I want to get out on a booth, or if I want to sit down on this chair and table, or if I wanted to sit at the sushi bar, I could. And it was just kind of that kind of thing that we discussed, and was like, maybe this could be that, because it's on Washington as well, right in between Kokoro and Handy's, so.
I also like for Ico, it's just such a special place. Just when you sit at the sushi bar, the culture that we have at the sushi bar, the sushi, the chef that we have, they're all amazing. Like, they're all great. They're very knowledgeable and like they're very engaged.
Yeah.
So like you no matter what, when it comes to like sushi bar, you're gonna have fun no matter.
Exactly. And most people don't like to sit at sushi bars at other restaurants, just because the chef's always looking down, or they look very busy. They're intimidating. But we've tried to cultivate this in our culture at Ico, especially with our chefs, to talk to the guests, give them a good time, give them an experience. We always tell them, you know, just like treat every guest like if it was one of your best friends or your family member coming in to eat, and, you know, talk to them, ask them questions, you know, tell them what you're doing. If they ask you questions, engage with them. So,
I mean, that's all about, you know,
that's what the sushi bar experience is.
Important than hospitality.
Exactly.
That's all hospitality.
Right. And I think, you know, that comes back to kind of that Uchi background, right? Uchi is, if they're known for anything, it's the hospitality, that ability to surprise people with a dish that they didn't order, or remembering what they ordered last time, or any of that stuff. I think that's been a very key component of their success. And so I think it makes sense that you would want to extend that to your own businesses.
That's very true. You know, it was just instilled to us. We worked there for a very long time, and that was just like the new normal for us, you know? So it's a gift and a curse. Turn it off.
All right. So if Aiko is kind of the more elevated, not quite special occasion, but maybe a little fancier than some of the stuff you've done. Himari, your restaurant in Garden Oaks, is kind of the other side of the pendulum. It feels very neighborhood to me, and I say that as a compliment, right? This is like the casual weeknight dinner, or you could even, it has the skewers, it has the tempura. In some ways, I think it's kind of family friendly even. So tell me about that restaurant and kind of developing that concept as something that's distinct from basically everything else you had done before that.
So Himari is a story. It's just, you know, as we grew, we had a lot of chefs that worked with us for a very long time, and we weren't quite big enough to have, you know, like a chef of the whole company, or we weren't like a huge company, right? We were just three concepts at that time. And one of our chefs that worked with us for a very long time, his name is Ty Nguyen, and he's always dreamed of opening up his own restaurant. Every chef's dream is to do that, right? But the biggest setback for any chef to do that is capital and the know-how to do a business. So what we did was we talked with Ty. Daniel talked with Ty for, you know, I want to say months, years, you know, like about his dream. And he talked with him and said, look, this is what we can do. Well, let's open up a concept for you. You know, we'll help you out. We'll be the capital. We'll do the back end stuff. We'll, you know, all you have to worry about is you make the menu, you operate it, and this, just treat this place like it's your own, and, you know, showcase your food. And that's exactly what Himari is.
Yeah, Daniel, talk to me about working with Ty and kind of getting him ready for that opportunity.
No, I mean, like, it's the same thing, like, between me and Pastry. Like, me and Ty, we used to work together, and then at the end of the night, like, you know, grabbing, you know, drinking beer together, and we always talking about our goals and dreams. Like, we always wanted to, you know, create our own menu, become like restaurant owners. Like, you know, it's like, it's every chef's dream. And like, we've been talking about that for like 3, 4, 5 years. Like, we've known for like 8 years now. And, you know, and then after we successfully create Kokoro and Handy's and Aiko, we're like, Ty, like, this is what we can do. I cannot guarantee you anything, but then if you can guarantee me that, like, we can work together, and then if you work hard, I think we can make this happen together. And then Patrick agreed, and obviously all other partners agreed, and there you go. There's a Himari right now.
How is Himari going? I mean, how is it being received by the neighborhood?
I mean, I would say, like, at beginning, of course, like, there was a lot of hype, and it was very busy, and then it slowed down a little bit. Last 2-3 months, like, it was a little bit difficult, but right now it's picking back up at the stopping ground. Always, there's so many people, and then all the families, they come to stopping ground and loving the food, loving the places, and, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff and a lot of events going on. There's a lot of live music, a lot of drinks. It's just such a fun place to be. And, you know, Himari's doing just fine.
All right. So let me talk to you about kind of your present and your future. We're recording this while you're in Dubai, opening a new location of Kokoro. So how did that opportunity present itself? What are you doing in Dubai?
So, yeah, it's a crazy story. Actually, all of us were here the other day. We were just kind of like, we're sitting in the car, and I was like, just laughing, and everybody's like, "Are you okay?" Like, we're in the Middle East right now. We're just in the desert. but no, that happened because a gentleman came and ate at Handy's Dozo, and he just fell in love with the concept and was trying to find out who the owners were. Met some people that knew us and made the contact with one of our business partners, CJ. It was, I want to say, 2.5 years, 3 years almost, and a work in progress of just talking contracts, negotiations, seeing how things were going to work out. And Daniel ended up flying here, I want to say, like 3-4 times before even like having the building complete, right?
Well, 3 times.
But the first time I visited here, it's a crazy, beautiful city. You know, it never sleeps, but the food scene here is still growing a lot, and I think it's an untapped market for a hand roll bar. But we wanted to do more than just hand rolls, so we're doing nigiri hand rolls and crudo as well. It's been super busy. That's all I can say. We've been, not only our staff, but we've been busting our ass over here as well. We did 560 covers in the past 2 nights. So in a 1,600 square foot spot, which is pretty small compared to our other locations.
I mean, that would be like not dissimilar to what Uchi does on a busy night in a much bigger space.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's awesome. It's really cool to go to a new city. Like, we always wanted to go outside of Houston, but we never knew that it would be in a different country, a different continent, nonetheless. But the city has welcomed us with open arms, and the hype is building every single day. We have 2-hour waits sometimes, and you know, it's crazy. I would say this is the busiest opening of any of our restaurants that I've experienced.
Well, and then what about your future in Houston? I think I've read that you're working on a new location of Kokoro in Midtown at the Ion.
Yeah, of course, that's coming up. We've been working on that project for the last year and a half now.
Yeah.
Also, we are working on the Doko in Autry Park.
Bar Doko.
Also Bar Doko, which is where we focus on like Japanese cocktails. I guess Japanese infused, I don't know, cocktail that like Japanese taste, flavor infused.
Yeah.
And we have one more project we've been working on is the Kokoro. It's gonna be on Waterway in Woodlands.
Yes.
So that's our plan. That's our pipeline.
Yeah, that's our future within the next year or so.
What was that last one? I'm sorry.
Woodlands, the Waterway Woodlands.
Oh,
we're opening
okay.
A Kokoro over there as well. Yes.
Okay.
It's gonna be right next to Trish Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be. Knowing Chef Austin from Tris a little bit, I'm sure he'll be very happy to have sushi next door.
Oh yeah, he's been very helpful.
Yeah, they've been super helpful and cool. We've gone up there to just visit the site and eat dinner and get to know our neighbors, especially one of our other business partners, CJ. He goes there all the time, talks to them, and you know, super excited about the project.
They're such good people. Yeah. Such good people.
Well, and just talk about Doko and Bar Doko, because Autry Park has been so interesting already with Annabelle and Auden and MF Lobster. You know, you're joining a pretty dynamic community, and so yeah, just tell us a little bit about that restaurant and the bar.
So that project, we were approached by a man by the name of Matt Reagan. He came into Handy's one night to eat, and I was actually washing dishes and bussing that night. Because we were short-staffed, and he saw me just running around, and he stopped me and pulled me aside. He's like, "Hey, are you Patrick?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he kind of just talked to me and said, "Hey, we're doing this little project. We want to make this like a destination spot in Houston." And long story short, I brought the idea back to our partners. We're like, "Hey, let's do it." So it's been in the works now for about 3 years too, right?
Two and a half, 3 years now.
It's still getting built out. We've had some delays. But that project, like Daniel said, it's going to be a sushi restaurant on one side, and adjacent right across from it is going to be a very small, intimate, like Japanese style or Japanese influence, I guess you can say, cocktail bar. But that's pretty much all we can really say about that concept. But it will be a sushi restaurant.
Okay. Well, we will look forward to that. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you want to discuss?
I mean, I guess we had Handy's too in Montrose. That opened up 2 years ago.
No, yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, in December. In Montrose, yeah. But I mean, that's pretty much it, really. Just continuing to grow and stay busy. But no, it's been definitely a journey.
I mean, it's really an astonishing amount of growth in a relatively short time. I mean, Bravery opened in 19, right? So you've done,
yeah.
So you've done Kokoro, Ico, and two Handies in 5 years that included a pandemic. You know, no big deal. I mean, it's pretty astonishing, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know what it says about. I'm not sure what it says about you, or if it just indicates that Houston has a limitless appetite for sushi. I think maybe a little of both.
A little bit of both for sure, but I think it really has to do with Daniel and his aggression of foot to the pedal, like nonstop gas, 100 miles an hour always. So he's always keeping us pushing and, you know, telling us, hey, we need another spot. Or, you know, for us, it's just because as we grow our staff and we don't ever want to lose people. And, you know, that's another thing with Ty. We wanted to move him up to get his own spot. But, you know, we open more concepts for that reason. And also just because, you know, we love doing what we do and we just want to feed people good food and, you know, be a part of the community.
Daniel, any other thought about kind of this pace of opening and
no,
I mean Patrick just basically blamed you for everything.
I know, right? Like,
he says that I'm in control and I'm the boss. It's actually him. He's always the one that it's more like, Daniel, I need a break. I need a breath. I need to stop. COVID. I mean, I think honestly, what it is too, after COVID, if you survive COVID, you're like, man, I could do anything. You know?
Yeah, I mean, as much as this industry is like so tough and hard, and you just have to put so many hours into, I mean, so much effort you have to put in, but, you know, it's just without, you know, Patrick's leadership and and all our staffs, like, Laura, you know, like all the energies, and without them, like, we can't, we just like, we're nothing.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just, I can't say it was all me. It's all staff.
Yeah, it takes a village, to be honest. And, you know, our staff is great. You know, they follow us blindly. And, you know, so it's been a journey. It's been great. And it's definitely the staff, for sure.
For sure, 100%.
All right, Patrick, give us the plug whatever websites and social media you want for the various Duckstash concepts.
All right, we have Kokoro HTX. All the Instagrams are Kokoro, at Kokoro HTX. At Handy's Dozo, at Ico HTX, at Himari HTX, at Kokoro.dxb, and I think Doko HTX too, right? And Bar Doko HTX. So those are all of our plugs. And then we're still working with our hospitality website and whatnot. But once we do launch that, we'll be posting that all in all of our Instagram pages.
All right. Well, gentlemen, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. See you next time, Eric.
Absolutely. All right. You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.